Okay. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. In the certification of bylaws.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
KPFA is mentioned twice. KPFK is not mentioned.
Okay, we know. We need to have that.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I will raise
I will
issue,
make
however.
That change.
Somebody said that Deb called it a Freudian slip.
That was my fault.
Okay, and this is Teresa. I would like to mention four things, and I just want to run this by you. Number one, in Article 12, Section 7, we talk about an annual statement, and it says there should be a provision for email or posting on the website of this statement at the board's discretion. Mailing to the entire membership would involve big bucks for no reason unless it should read delegates instead of members. Have we addressed that?
Where are we? Article 12, Section
7.
Annual statement.
By mailing or otherwise delivering it.
Annual statement of specific transactions.
Yeah, I don't think we need to mail that to the members.
I agree.
So are we going to say that we're going to post it on our website, or?
Do we have to say anything?
Yeah, otherwise delivering it to them, can we say, or by mailing, posting?
I think we should.
At the station?
I think we should post it to the webpage.
Yeah.
And at the station.
We change the word delivering it to otherwise making it available to them?
You know, the practical solution is to post it to the web. That makes it available.
It's clear.
And it's clear what we're doing.
Okay, but would that preclude us also maybe mentioning that it should be posted at the station for those people who don't have access to computers or the web?
I agree.
Posted at the station and on the web.
I agree.
Okay.
So the language B then is exactly what?
Any objection to that?
No.
All right. The second one is... Article 6, Section 8, do we cover vacancies? We say vacancies should be filled from the list of runners-up from the original election. This is not critical, but the policy should be as uniform as possible.
You're going too fast.
I'm sorry.
To the page.
My fault.
Article 6,
Section 8.
Section 8.
Six.
Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
Page 23.
All right, filling vacancies on the board. All right.
And it says, vacancies should be filled from a list of runners-up from the original elections. This is not critical, but the policy should be as uniform as possible.
I oppose that because the members of the local board are going to be changing every year, and it just seems kind of cumbersome. We will have had another year to evaluate people. We should just...
it might be 2 years if we're going
right.
with the...
So if there's a vacancy, we should look at who's on the local board then.
But what is the proposed language here?
We didn't
go back to the original list of nominees.
As opposed to those who won votes.
Teresa, was that a motion?
Well, I was not given wording for this.
I'm sorry, if there's no wording to propose, I don't understand the issue personally.
Well, do I understand the issue, Teresa, that if a director resigns in the middle of his or her term or dies?
Let's say we have four people resign. Say two move out of town, one is just too busy or mother's ill or something.
Yeah, right.
And
they
one's
resign.
Incompetent. So we're short four. Would you just continue without those people?
No, you fill them. The local board elects new directors to fill them.
Yeah.
That's what it says right now.
The board
elects.
And the
national board, not the local board, right?
The local station board that elected those directors.
Elects the directors.
Fills the vacancy for the remainder of the term.
It shall be filled by a majority vote of the board from the list of nominees.
The thing is, Teresa, it's slightly different than the issue of how you replace vacancies on the local station board where you have an election.
Okay, no problem then. All right, so you just hold another election among the local station board.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, got it. In Article 5 and in Article 6, we state, transition elections should be rewritten to agree with yearly elections. Have we made adjustments for transition?
We
don't get that.
We rejected the yearly election.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, one last thing.
I don't want, Teresa, one last, but what about that fair, that Article 5, Section 6 fair campaign provisions?
Okay, well, I'm going to, okay, so actually I want to ask one more thing.
Okay.
Going back to Article 4, Section 13.
Article 4.
You've been very patient with me, and I really do appreciate that.
Article Section which? 13?
13.
Article 4.
Station Advisory Committee.
Wait a minute.
Article 4, Section 13.
Section 13. Local Station Advisory Committees. Okay.
Okay. It says here, there is no mention of the structure or function of a program council. We believe this is essential to spread the power of decision. We would prefer a structure that fosters cooperative decision-making. Do we need to consider this?
Is there a motion?
We talked about program councils before on the board, and I think it was the consensus,
the programming committee.
The consensus of the board was that each station would handle that as appropriate by the station.
Yeah, I do have an issue. And then something was raised to me by Lydia Brazon, the local advisory board chair here in California, one of the plaintiffs in the Adelson suit, in fact. And she is really very concerned. After her conferences with staff here at KPFK, paid and unpaid staff, that it actually might occur, hard to imagine, it might occur that the six staff seats might not get filled. And that if the staff does not elect, so that means, in other words, let's say only four people run. If the staff does not fill the seats, then they get filled by the next in line for that term from the listener election of delegates. So that's a proposed motion by KPFK relating to the election of local station board delegates. If the staff seats are not filled by staff election, Those seats which are not filled may be filled
by
the next.
Okay, Dan, I'm just with my same old hobby horse. People fought real hard to get those staff seats filled. I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I really don't want to revisit this.
Well, I understand.
And if they don't have enough people, they need to go get some.
You're saying that even the volunteer programmers won't want to be staff members, David?
Lydia is very concerned that they're not going to find even four or five, six people to run for the position. And that if that occurs, which I agree, it's unlikely to occur, but it might occur, and she's concerned because what could then occur is that instead of a 24-seat local advisory board, you might end up missing a few seats. She wants to make sure we get some listeners on there to get the work done.
Well, I'm going to oppose this. I'm with Janice. We fought really hard to get these seats for staff members. KPFA lab worked really hard to get them. If the KPFK staff is disinterested in serving on the board, then they should have those vacancies sitting there gaping at them so that they can't complain about what the local board does and they'll get off their cookus and elect somebody.
Well, there's my motion. If the staff do not fill the seats, then they get filled by the listener electees next in line at the local board. Is there a second?
Okay, this is Teresa one more time about section 13 again.
I'm sorry, section 13?
Going back to section 13 of Article 4.
Article 4, section 13.
Okay, my lab is asking, should we not mention program council? She says, I would prefer a structure that fosters cooperative decision making. Are you saying that this is covered, that we don't need to actually mention program council, that they're already covered in advisory committees as mentioned in this?
No, it's not covered in advisory committees, but it is covered in specific duties of the board.
Okay.
And it's under G to work with station management to ensure station's policies and procedures are... That's where the local station board would work with the general manager to make sure that the program council is policies and procedures and so forth.
Okay. All right, then...
Is there a motion?
So I withdraw that motion.
Hearing none.
Okay. I want to ask also about bylaws convention. It's been mentioned. It says here there is no provision for a bylaws convention. We all thought we would review and change what needed to be changed. Although such convention was passed in a binding resolution by the IPNB, the bylaws make it very difficult to enact changes. I would suggest, this is Deb Chatto speaking here, a section similar to the transition elections that would allow a first-time easy pass. I would suggest not a physical gathering of all members, but the same type of negotiations that have occurred within the last 3 months, i.e. proposals for changes submitted by all parties presented to the LSB committees, open to all interested parties, recommendations forwarded to lab chairs to structure commonality and to the PN, and on to the PNB. What do you think about this? Because we haven't really talked about that bylaws convention that we had all agreed to several months ago.
What? How would this be? How would you put that into the document we're working on?
Well, I really don't know how she meant that to be implemented. I don't really feel it should be in the bylaws. However, and she didn't give me wording for it, but she is concerned that it's just going to be forgotten. And I'm wondering if you do want to implement something like an easy pass and review this.
What is an easy pass? Is it something you get on the subway?
You're silly.
So that's what you do when you jump over the turnstile, Ron.
No, I think that I understand the concern is that we've set up a bylaws amendments process.
Mm-hmm.
That Deb would like us to waive once and hold a bylaws convention where bylaws could be adopted without going through all of this.
But didn't we set that?
And I oppose that. Didn't we what?
Didn't we resolve that we were going to have a bylaws convention?
Yeah, but we didn't. The bylaws convention doesn't waive the rules of amending the bylaws. We still need votes of approval of the whoever is going to approve.
But if we adopt something like what she suggests, then we physically wouldn't have to have all those people gather together.
Well,
I think people want the bylaws convention, and I think that what Deb is doing is suggesting is something that's it's like taking the teeth out of the bylaws convention. I mean, just have the bylaws convention, and people will deal with it then after they look at this.
I agree.
At the, you know, if what's going to happen. I really don't quite, I don't see the need at all for that.
I don't think she's trying to. I think she's just trying to facilitate.
Well, but I'm saying I don't think that's what it does. I think the bylaws convention, if people are mad as hell then, they're going to take care of it then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there a motion?
Okay. It's my turn.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, George.
Article 5, Section 6, Fair Campaign Provisions.
Article 5, Section 6. Let me get there before you launch into it.
Okay.
I have to flip
this
pages.
This is the nicest and best of suggestions. And which any true Pacifican would agree with.
It's
all right,
only
what
a
is
pound
it?
Of flesh.
Firstborn child.
And a knife. Okay, no foundation. I'm adding some language.
Where?
Fair campaign provisions, right,
okay.
George?
And you can't. It's the, again, on the second line.
I sent it to Erica.
And it's 4010.
I beg your pardon?
I sent it to Erica, and I sent it to all the PNB.
Okay.
Just
all
for
George, you're identifying the location of your proposal.
That's right. Section 6, second line, after the word candidate. Insert. Or groups supporting any organize.
Not only for the time, just to listen. To
or groups supporting or organizing any candidate, or candidates. Okay.
No foundation, radio station management or staff may use airtime to endorse, campaign, or recommend in favor of or against a candidate.
Any candidate or group supporting or organizing any candidate.
Isn't that redundant, though?
That's what I'm just. I have to represent my body.
So you don't want groups to be able to go over on the air and advocate for a candidate? Is that it?
No, it's not.
That's right.
That's
right.
Not a question of having the foundation and the management or staff using airtime to endorse them.
Right. For example, let's say I wanted to run for the lab, the local station
mm-hmm.
board, and I said I'm going to pay to have. Winona LaDuke come and speak, and it'll say Teresa Allen presents Winona LaDuke, and I'd like to offer this as a fundraiser for the station. And so it says KPFT and Teresa Allen presents Winona LaDuke speaking at such and such, and it's a fundraiser. Would you allow that?
Well, let's call the thing what it is. You're not talking about 3Sound. You're talking about an organization of listeners that gains a level of significance because they seem to be affiliated with the station by virtue of co-sponsoring events.
Right.
But their endorsees gain an extra collateral eclat.
Right. Well, I don't think our objective is promoting and endorsing candidates. I'm just concerned about it.
I think that groups of any stripe, nature, or coalition should be able to endorse candidates. We should encourage that, and that's a very healthy thing. I don't think they should be able to
go on the air.
And
do it, yeah.
If that's the proposal, no foundation or radio station management or staff or any group may use airtime to endorse campaign for or recommend in favor of a candidate. That's fine.
Yeah, that's our language. Or group supporting.
Let me ask you this. What about flyers, brochures?
Great.
Using the web page.
Not the station web page.
What she's getting at, but I don't want to explain it for Teresa necessarily, but if you're talking about a group that's doing other things independent of the candidacy. So, for example, if I had an organization called Pacificans for Fireside Theater.
About the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network? That's the one you've got.
I have the FPNN, which I'm involved in down here, starts endorsing candidates. And then independent of that endorsement, ostensibly, FPNN is being, you know, this card's being run all the time about our meetings. And a listener would think, geez, FPNN is like the official group, almost. It feels like it, even though it's not technically. Then when the FPNN starts endorsing people, people are going to say, wait a second, that's the machine that's too tied to the station. Because they're doing all these benefits and things that are helping the station out, they're embracing the station, and thus they have an undue amount of influence over the electorate.
Well, I'm concerned about people's free speech rights here. We've got loads and loads and loads and loads of different listener groups all around this country.
Yeah.
And I think all of them should be free and encouraged to be actively out there recruiting candidates, endorsing them, rounding up votes for them. That's how we're going to get a great interest in the elections and a quorum and everything. So I don't know why we need to put anything in there that would restrict that in any way, except, of course, they're not going to use airtime. Because we have these fair elections proposals about how airtime is going to be used.
What I think Carol is saying is that I can't understand how the situation that you describe would be allowable under the language that we have now.
Right. I mean, it says nobody can use airtime to endorse candidates.
No matter what.
No matter what. No matter who it is.
We just don't want to include any groups.
Well, a group, nobody can.
Yeah, which part?
I'm looking at right now doesn't preclude that. It says candidate, but it doesn't have the specificity that Teresa and I are requesting.
Well,
the foundation
management can't use airtime, which means they can't give airtime to anybody.
He's saying in favor or against any candidate group. He's talking about the group, if the group itself is trying to get time. I guess, is that what you mean, George?
Yes.
Is what you're saying, Teresa and George, that, for example, if the FPNN was endorsing the slate of people, and it was seeming very influential, that during that election time, the FPNN couldn't come on to the KPFK air and say, oh, by the way, we're FPNN, and we're holding all these wonderful events. They're not endorsing anybody, but they're developing a greater sense of affiliation with the station in the ears of the listeners.
Well, I'll tell you, at KPFK...
Is that what you're getting at, George and Teresa?
Well, I'm thinking that... I'm just concerned about, even though one candidate's name might not be mentioned, that a group's name might be mentioned if they're endorsing, if they're sponsoring events, and then come the event, they stand up and they say, well, we are such and such group, and by the way, while you're on your way out, sign our email list. Who owns the email list?
Well,
I think imagining things that are probably very healthy. At the KPFA elections, all the listener groups held meet the candidates nights.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we did record a card saying you can meet the candidates at on such and such a date here in Berkeley, and there in Santa Rosa, and there in San Jose, and various groups hosted them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people got to meet the candidates, and it was all just very delightful.
Is there a motion pending?
Yes, my motion.
George's got a, let's just call
let's vote on it. Okay.
Well, what's the motion besides the George?
The motion is to insert the language, the following language after the word candidate in the second line
mm-hmm.
of Article 3, pardon me, Article 5, Section 6.
First sentence where candidate appears, after the word candidate, insert
the language or group supporting or organizing any candidate, or in print princess in letter S.
Okay.
Okay.
Or group supporting or organizing any candidate, and put in princess S, you know, candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And then comma, and then it goes on to for election. You know,
is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I would like to say that this, to me, this is very, very different than, as Carol said, what was healthy, putting something over the air and saying, oh, meet all of the candidates. I think there's a very big difference.
Of course there is.
And if you expect an election, you know, committee to enforce this, you need to look at, I mean, there was some very interesting comment in our public comment section about how this really could undermine your election process if it gets to be pervasive.
Okay, let's
vote.
Okay, any objections are going to the vote? Hearing none, to vote yes is to insert after the first appearance of the word candidate in Article 5, Section 6, the phrase, or group supporting or organizing any candidate.
Organizing any candidate?
Organizing for.
Or group supporting any.
I think there's one more thing I think we need to add.
George,
no, come on. We call
it's in the same vein. It's to make it consistent within the same paragraph. I apologize.
Any candidate or slate of candidates? Is that what you're getting at, George?
Hurry up.
Or nor any group,
George. Come on.
Come on, please bear with me. Nor any group supporting or organizing any candidates, but not to others.
But not what?
Not
okay.
Others.
So.
All right. Can I read what you're saying?
Sure.
No foundation or radio station management or staff or any group supporting or endorsing any candidate or...
No, that's not
no.
where you...
May use airtime to endorse.
Campaign or recommend.
Or recommend.
Any.
All right, and you want to add something else somewhere else?
No. No foundation or radio station management or staff may use airtime to endorse, comma, campaign, or recommend in favor of or against any candidate or... That's where you insert, right there.
That's right.
Or
oh.
group of candidates.
Or group supporting. Or
all right, so what you want to make sure of is that KPFT doesn't announce that the people for Progressive Radio in Houston are having a meeting or are holding a fundraiser and inviting guests to speak.
That's what I said.
That's the implication or that's the impact. The station, KPFA, cannot say the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica will be meeting in Berkeley on Friday night.
No, nope, that's not what I said.
If they have somebody running for office, that is what you're saying.
Would
yeah.
Is the primary purpose of that group to endorse candidates?
The primary purpose of the CDP is for the last number of years has been to democratize Pacifica.
Okay.
Well, that's your opinion.
This is the Berkeley CDP, which existed long before the New York CDP.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't get them confused, Jana.
Get my knickers in a twist.
Yeah.
Are we ready to call for the...
No, we're not, because I want to make sure it's very clear to all of y'all. I mean, y'all have received the information on this. It says no foundation or radio station management or staff may use airtime to endorse, campaign, or recommend in favor of or against any candidate, which is the original language, insert, or group supporting or organizing any candidates, that's what's inserted, then continue on, for election as a listener-sponsored delegate, nor may airtime be given to some listener-sponsors sponsored delegates, delegate candidates. Now add this, nor any groups in Princess S supporting or organizing any candidates as his princess, but not to others.
Okay, so
that's what I'm saying.
So I understand the import here is what you want to make sure of is this, if there's a local listeners group that's holding an event, that it won't be announced on the air.
No. Holding an event?
No, I mean holding an event where they might hand out literature in support of some candidate.
Okay. Is there a comment on this? I do.
Teresa, what are you thinking?
I think this is interfering with the election supervisor's role to ensure fairness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be different in each single area. And I think that it does constrain people.
Yeah.
It's on the station a major and difficult duty to determine whether or not this group is supporting a candidate or not, and whether or not they qualify under this constraint, and whether or not they need to we need to keep them off the air and so forth. And it becomes really then a matter of who has the power. And I think that when we're talking about fairness in campaigning, we need to not try to pin down every little contingency,
mm-hmm.
but allow the campaign supervisor, or election supervisor rather, to do their job under the guidance of the local national board.
All I'm saying is that look at the faces of the language.
Yeah.
I want the election supervisor to be able to do their job also. I just feel it's real important that we look at this because I think it could undermine the fairness of elections if you have events where email addresses are collected, who owns them, who makes announcements of who is sponsoring the event. Is it the station or is it the group? And I don't want people that attend those functions to be confused about who's sponsoring what.
Worry about the station using its power to control the election.
Bingo.
Yes.
Well, you know,
we
can't control everybody's email list.
Right.
We can't control people's members' conduct or groups' conduct. What we're responsible for is what goes on our air. And you're saying that the station should not announce any event of any group that might be or is endorsing candidates.
No, that's what you're saying. I'm not saying that.
No, I mean I'm shortening it down to its essence. If there's a group that's holding an event, maybe they're having a potluck dinner, maybe they're showing a movie, and they're going to hand out literature in support of Teresa Allen for the board, you don't want that potluck dinner announced on KPFT.
That's correct. I don't.
Okay.
I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's in the face.
Okay. Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
Hey, is there any further question or discussion on this motion? Hearing none, the question is called. To say yes is to insert after the first instance of candidate in Article 5, Section 6, the following phrase, or group supporting or organizing any candidate, the S being in parent, end quote. Then again, after the next reference to the word candidate, actually candidates plural, the phrase, again, quote, or any groups supporting or organizing.
Nor any groups.
Huh?
Nor.
Okay.
Nor any groups supporting or organizing any candidate. Okay, that's the motion.
But not to others, yeah.
No objection to the question? The question is being called. The yes is to insert that language. Pete?
No.
Janet?
Qualified? No.
Janet?
Carol?
No, just
no.
Scary.
George?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jabari?
Yes.
I'm going to vote no on this one, friend.
No! You're spineless.
No, I'm on George. Just torn. I'm torn.
Come on, George.
So what's the vote now?
That it's an ex post facto provision that, as I said, constrains speech. We need to out-organize our opposition. And we need to ensure that if we have a concern that the station's being abused for its power, that we intervene and we take it very, very seriously, and we not create rules that are subject to interpretation and confusion.
Okay, are we done?
I think we're done.
Did it pass? I don't even know. Did it pass?
No, it didn't. No.
Well,
I'm sorry,
vote
count.
I
could have voted
sorry,
yes,
George.
And it was a tie, and it still would have lost. You know, but I'm not going to play that game.
All right, let's go.
Wait, I'm sorry, Jabari, how did you vote on that?
He voted yes.
I'm still here.
It was Washington, D.C. Washington and Houston voted yes.
Okay.
Well, George, I hope I don't live to rule that one, but...
let's go. It's one.
Is it over?
Now, let's start over again.
No, I got to get off the phone.
We have been at this for almost to the minute, 6 hours.
Yeah.
I am in awe of you. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. It's a beautiful and difficult effort. We just get out of here. Any concerns? Any ideas?
Dave, will you call me right back, please?
Can you call my home, George?
I need someone to forward to me all the comments and votes. I will do that as quickly as I can. And Dave, you forward me what you've got too. But if we don't get off the phone and I don't get to the bathroom, we're going to.
Thanks, Erica. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you all.
Call me Dave.